Blog Talk Radio.
Be set free, be healed, be made whole at Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, where miracles happen. Set free, be healed, be made whole at Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, at Miracle Temple, where Christ lives in me.
Welcome to Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, where miracles happen. Apostle Amanda Walker Bryant wants to make sure you get all that you need through the Word of God. Let us join Apostle Bryant as she teaches the infallible Word of God.
Open your Bibles to St. Luke, the first chapter. And I want to begin at verse 31 and end at verse 31. St. Luke, the first chapter, verse 31. We thank God for His Word on today. Amen. And the word of God now reads, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." I want to talk about the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. You know, we talk about Jesus so much, but in talking about him, there should be manifestations through just saying that name. And when the Lord laid this on my heart, and as I was going through the Word of God, I just couldn't even get through all of it because, you know, God stopped me at certain points. And as I was meditating on those certain points, I got so full because I believe that at times we take His name in vain. We don't honor that name. We don't respect that name. We really don't know about that name. And when God gave me this verse of Scripture, when He was telling Mary, this was such an honor for this angel of the Lord to come to Mary to let her know that she was going to become pregnant with a son, and that son's name would be Jesus. And Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. And we know that wrapped up in salvation is your deliverance, is your prosperity, is your welfare, is your safety, is your healing. It's wrapped up in that one word. But she said, the angel said, you shall become pregnant with this name. And when the Lord told me, we as born-again believers, we don't even know what we're pregnant with. We don't even know what we have on the inside of us because too many of us around here ripping and roaring, trying to get things done, trying to do things ourselves, when we have a name on the inside of us that's above every name that has taken care of everything that we need. And we're walking around here like we in the slum or in a gutter, like we walking in poverty, like we walking around with sickness and being defeated when this name have already, come on somebody. God said we're walking around with all this power on the inside of us. We're carrying Jesus. He's in us. But Jesus said, I want to come through you. I want to manifest myself through you to let people know that I am Lord, that I am Savior. So Mary, this was a special honor. This is why he said, you're highly favored amongst women. You're blessed and highly favored. Look how blessed we are and highly favored we are to have Jesus living on the inside of us, and we go around like we have nothing. Look at your neighbor and say, shame on you. Say, seriously, shame on you. Because I believe some of us got up this morning weary. I believe some of us got up this morning tired. I believe some of us got up this morning complaining, like, oh, Lord, I don't want to go to church, but I'm just going to press my way in getting there. You don't even realize that you have a name on the inside of you. Is His strength, not your own. You got to quit living off of your emptiness and start realizing who you are now that you're in Christ and what you have now that you're in Him. I remember hearing this story of this minister that went a certain place to pray pray for this man. And this man was so sick unto death, that his skin overlapped him. That's just how sick he was, because he wasn't eating. And this man before was a healthy man, but he got attacked with this sickness. And people would just, you know, say he's not eating, so they was waiting on him to die. But when this preacher heard about this man, he went into prayer and he began to talk to God about this man. And he said, I want you to go raise Lazarus up. That's what he called the man, Lazarus, because he was at death's door. When the man got there, he said it was so ironic, because you had people that said that they believed in Jesus, but nobody really wanted to come into agreement with him for what the Lord told him to do. So it was like he was by himself. And said he got into his closet and he began, the Lord said, you know, don't you eat tonight. You know, I want you to separate yourself. So he didn't eat anything. He didn't eat or drink. And he went in prayer again, you know, for this gentleman. And the Lord told him, I want you to raise Lazarus up. Lazarus shall be risen up. So he said when he got into bed that night, when he woke up, seemed like the ailments that this man had began to attack him. But he said, one thing I began to do, I began to call on Jesus. He said, as I begin to call on Jesus, he said, I'm telling you, things begin to change. He said, things begin to shift. So the next day, he went to see this man. And as he went into the room with this man, with the ones that he could gather up that could believe for this miracle, he said that he began to pray for this man, and seemed like nothing would happen. He would just say, Jesus. And all of a sudden, he would see a little manifestation. Seemed like it would come and it would go. So he would say, Jesus again, and seem like it would come and go. He said, but finally he asked this man was so bitter because he was sick unto death. He had to let go. He had to begin to repent of not believing God, who God is. So as this man began to repent, and as they began to call on Jesus and call on the name of Jesus, this man got out the bed, put on his clothes, went downstairs. I'm here to tell you, this is why you got to have a relationship with that name. Some of us don't have a relationship with that name because we misuse that name. We use that name in vain, meaning that it's empty. When we say, oh, God, and God said, don't use his name in vain. Oh, Lord. See, when we call on him, we want to know that there's power in the name of Jesus. And if you always misusing that name, ain't no power going to come from that name, because you don't recognize how powerful it is. See, this ain't no game. This is nothing to play with. When you are in relationship with him, you wouldn't even allow that to come out of his mouth. Come on, all of us in this room today is guilty. Because me, myself, sometimes said, oh, Lord, am I really calling out to the Lord? Or is that just part of my speech? Come on, we need to examine ourselves on today, because this is why some manifestations are not taking place in our lives, because we're not honoring that name. We're taking that name in vain. But God stopped me here with conceiving that name in your womb. When we accepted Jesus as our Lord and as our Savior, he came in to live. That means to dwell. He made home on the inside of us, and we know that he couldn't make that home until we were cleaned up. That's why the Holy Spirit had to come in there. And when the Holy Spirit came in there and our spirit became new, then Jesus began to abide. He began to dwell on the inside of us. But God stopped me here at this verse because he reminded me that there is salvation in no other name. That means his name is the only name by which you can be saved. There's no other name that can save you. And what got me, and this is where I began to stop, and I knew I had to move on, but it was just an urgency and an unction. God said, there's no other name that can save anybody. And we got these false teachers, false doctrine, false religion out here that's telling people that in order for you to go to heaven, it's through works. It's through your good works. And see, we got this religion out here that's saying that they believe in Jehovah, but Jesus ain't the one that saves. So see, we have to understand who you are amongst. Because the Bible says there's no other name by which you can be saved except the name of Jesus. Buddha cannot save you. Muhammad cannot save you. And there's people teaching about Allah, teaching Buddha, Muhammad, all of this crazy stuff. And what's happening is the enemy is getting into the minds of these people through what they are teaching, and they're opening up to that realm and saying that this is what I have to do to be saved, when the word of God says there's no other Christ. If Jesus hadn't shed his blood, none of us would be here today. But nobody is telling the good news concerning him. Everybody is trying to work it out. Do you know that some people say when you minister the good news to them, the first thing that they'll say is, well, you know, I'm going to stop trying to smoke first. I'm going to stop trying to drink first. I'm going to come off them drugs first. I'm going to stop trying to lay around first. I'm going to stop trying to do this or do that, because when I stop doing it, then I can accept Jesus. I'm here to tell you that Jesus can come and people can be raptured up, and you still left here trying to stop something that you can't stop, because you got a controlling nature, if you're not born again, a sinful nature on the inside of you that's compelling you, that's drawing you to sin. And the only way that sinful nature can be taken care of is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And by you accepting what that blood has done on your behalf, knowing that I can't save myself and nobody else can save me but Jesus. Jesus said in John 14, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. Now, I don't know what other versions of the Bible that people are reading, but the version that we should be reading is the one that say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no other. You cannot come to the Father but by me. This is what Jesus is saying. And so many people, even folks that have not even come across these other religions, you're thinking that you're good enough to go to heaven. You're thinking just because you don't curse, just because you don't lay around, just because you come to church, just because you pay your tithes, just because you're good to your neighbor, just because you love everybody. And I'm here to tell you, you can't love them the way that God loves them. You're only loving them the way that you think they need to be loved. But when you have God's love, the unconditional love, you love them even when they hate you, even at the uttermost. So you cannot save yourself, but we're out here trying to work it out. When the Word of God says in Romans, what is it, the third chapter, he said there's none that's good. There's none that's righteousness, that's right. There's no one. So God is letting us understand that he had to come out of heaven to come here on earth to die on our behalf in order for us to be saved. He came to save the lost. You can't do it yourself. And like I was telling you before, people were looking at me, oh, you're so good, you don't do this and you don't do that. But that ain't going to save me. Accepting what Jesus have done, that's what have already saved me. See, salvation has already been made available. If anybody go to hell, it ain't because of your sin. It's because of you rejecting Jesus Christ. Because Jesus took care of the sin even before you accepted him. Don't let people tell you you're going to die in your sin. No. It's because you ain't accepting what Jesus done. He said he did away with your past, your present, and your future sins. This is why people are still trying to not sin. This is why they're trying to not sin, because they're still trying to do it on their own. Jesus already done it. He was the perfect sacrifice. He was the perfect lamb without spot, without blemish. And when you know that, you will not allow sin to knock at the door. Remember Cain. Cain and Abel, Abel gave him that perfect sacrifice, but Cain's was not accepted. And then Cain got upset because God accepted Abel's sacrifice and didn't accept his. And guess what? Cain, by him thinking about these things, he was beginning to think about killing his brother. Jealousy, rejection was there. But God gave Cain a chance. He said, sin lies at the door, and it wait on you. But you can control sin. He's telling him, you got right over sin. It's up to you. You were created with the will. It's up to you. You got the choice. What did he choose to do? Kill his brother. And that's how it is with us. Jesus have done away with sin. So when sin pop up in your life, you have the right to choose whether or not you want to fornicate, whether or not you want to lie or steal. You have a choice to these things. But whatever you choose is what's going to affect you. You have the choice whether to gamble. You have the choice whether to smoke. Does that mean that God is not going to love you because you do these things? No, because God loves you even while you were in these things. This is why he sent his son to do away with sin, so sin no longer have dominion over you. What was so great about sin that it had to be done away with? Because sin controlled. Sin separated you from God. God could not look at sin. So Jesus took on those sins. Why do you think God turned away from Jesus when he was on that cross, his son? Because God could not look on sin. So that's why Jesus had to deal with sin. So when we come to God, come on, we come in the name of Jesus. We don't come in no other name. If you come to God in the name of Buddha, you ain't coming to God, and don't think that God's going to answer Buddha, because God don't know Buddha. The only one God knows is Jesus. And this is so sad. People, these other religions, they feel like this is how they get to heaven. By going and knocking on so many doors a month, it's going to get them in heaven. By, okay, you know, the commandments tell you not to do this, to do that. They add some commands to that that they have to do to get into heaven. I'm here to tell you, those people walking around thinking they go into heaven and they're doomed to hell. And nobody is telling them the truth, but they got the audacity to knock on your door and give you that stuff that don't line up with the word, and you let them in instead of telling them you cannot be saved by no other name than Jesus. And by the way, Jesus ain't Michael. But we don't want to do that. Why? I don't want to hurt their feelings. Somebody got to tell them the truth. You don't want them to die in their sins. And the thing is, it's in the word of God that says the blood will be on your hands. When you knew the truth and you refuse to give the truth and that person fall in that, the blood is on your hands, because you knew what was right, but you chose not to tell them what was right because you looked at who they were. What if Jesus did that? The Pharisees, look at the Pharisees, how they rejected the Messiah, because they set him up as setting up that kingdom. When he comes, he's going to set up his kingdom right now. But Jesus knew what he had to accomplish before he went back to be with the Father. But they wanted it their way, so they was teaching the people one way, and that's not the way it was going to be. And this is what's happening in the world today. So God said, there is no other name on earth that can save you except the name of Jesus. And that's very important. That's what you need to tell people. And I like this. That name is so powerful. Go with me to Matthew. I'm just going to give you some highlights. Matthew chapter 1, and it talks about the same thing as Luke. It says in 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. So we see that in that name there is what? There is salvation, and he shall save us from our sins. And Acts is the one that I went over dealing with. Neither is there salvation in any other, Acts 4, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, why did Peter address the crowd this way? Because they were using that name. They were getting results in that name. They were telling, you know, what Jesus had to go through and all of this. And don't you know, when you're giving out the good news concerning Jesus Christ, in that name is going to be some manifestation. This is why you see in the word of God, when people were there and they were hearing the good news, the gospel that Jesus was bringing, Jesus brought the good news concerning the kingdom. He was the good news. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom is here right now. The kingdom is near you. Why? Jesus was bringing the kingdom on earth. But in order to go into the kingdom, you had to accept who was bringing that good news. And that was Jesus Christ. There's no other way that you can go in except through me. So as they began to talk about these things, these people got mad. How many know when people hear the name of Jesus, the devils even tremble, the Bible say, at the name of Jesus? Something is wrong. Why, when we hear that name, we don't move, we ain't faced? But the devils tremble. But the people of God who accepted that name, don't fear that name. Don't reference that name. Say that name all out of content, like, ain't nothing about that name. As I was sitting in praise and worshiping, I had my shoes off, and I looked down. God is just so hilarious, so funny. And I looked at the name in my shoe. God said, even people reference names in shoes, names on suits. Some people say, I ain't going to wear it if it ain't a Michael Coy. Because they're honoring that name, and then they go have on? Well, you know, I'm wearing a Michael. Michael's the way to go. You know, this is where everybody is. I ain't only wearing a Michael, I'm carrying a Michael. So you feel so important because you got Michael on your wrist, you got Michael in your pants, you got Michael underwear, you got Michael earrings, you got Michael all over you. So when you're walking through the crowd, here come you and Michael. So you feel so important with Michael, and you want everybody to know who you're wearing and who you're carrying, that you don't even want to give up Michael. But when it comes to the name of Jesus and his power in that name, we don't want to talk about the goodness of Jesus and what Jesus done for us. We just walk around like we ain't got nothing. But hey, somebody, don't you know who I'm carrying? There's Jessica Simpson. That's what my shoe said this morning. Didn't really notice it. But it said Jessica Simpson, because you'll pick up a pair of shoes and say, oh, that looks nice. And then when the Lord had me to look at old Jessica down there, see, I could have been a person say, I'm wearing Jessica today. And just talk about Jessica so much that Jessica began to get the glory. And then somebody said, well, where did you find those shoes? Let's just stop. Let's just stop. We want everybody to find Jessica, to find Michael, to find Coach, to find Donnie Burke, to find Kevin Klein, to find Stephen, is it Madden? We want everybody to find those names. But ain't no power in those names. Those names can't save you when you're sick. Those names can't rescue you when you're in danger. I can't say Jessica. I can't say Michael Claude. I can't say them names and get some results, but I can say Jesus. And everything that's around me begin to move. Look at your neighbor and say, what's wrong with you? Say, it's all right for you to have those things. But those things shouldn't have you. And I want to ask you something. Where was Michael last night when you was depressed and oppressed? What could Michael do for you? What could Nautica do for you? Nada. Nothing. But we reference those names. We got to have those names. We got to understand that Jesus' name is above every name. So when Peter and them began to talk about these names, this name, these people became furious. They said, I don't want you to speak about this name. I don't really want you to teach in this name. So you knew that there had to be some power in that name. See, each time you talk about Jesus, you can look for a devil. Because when you say Jesus, them demons suppose to tremble. Because you're speaking on a powerful name. The Bible said even if the devil knew that was what was taking place during that crucifixion, it wouldn't have took place. Even if he knew, because the blood of Jesus is so powerful and we just misuse it like it's nothing. So in this same scripture, when we go to Acts chapter 5, I like this, what Gamaliel says. Now look at verse 31, it says, him God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. So they didn't want him to speak in this name. They didn't want to hear about this name. But Gamaliel began to stand up, and this is what Gamaliel said. And he said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourself what you intend to do is touching these men. I'm in Acts 5:35. For before these days rose up, Thaddeus boasted himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who were slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of man, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest happily ye be found even to fight against God. What am I saying? Even this man told them. See, men are drawing away people from God unto themselves. Why? Because they want to be exalted. They want to be highly exalted. But we got to understand that when the word said Jesus is salvation, that means that Jesus is above everything. Jesus is above everything, but we got men and women that want to be above Jesus. salvation has already been done. It's a done work. Jesus is not going back on that cross. And see, that's why we as ministers need to watch ourselves and say, this is what you got to do for God to do this. This is what you got to quit doing for God to do that. If you never quit doing it, God ain't going to go back on what he's already done. See, that's why things are not manifesting, because we're saying, okay, did you quit smoking yet? Did you quit drinking yet? Have you quit fornicating yet? If y'all go back in the Word of God, these people wasn't even saved, and they were healed. They haven't even accepted Jesus, because Jesus didn't even went to be with the Father. But healing took place. Deliverance took place. Why did it take place? Because Jesus represents all of those things. So Jesus was sharing what was already in him amongst the people. So when they came to the Word ended up setting them free. Guess what? Even before they accepted the Word. So this is what we do. We tell people, you got to accept this for God to do this. No, they don't. The only thing they got to do is believe. Believe in what he's already done. That's why when we present the name of Jesus, a manifestation should be taking place for people to know there is power in that name. Because everywhere they went and presented that name, people were saved. People were healed. They were delivered. And look at Peter. After Peter did that sermon, people was like, what must we do? What must we do to be saved? And Jesus and Peter was telling them, just repent. Have a change of heart. Have a change of mind. So see, our job is we're the carriers of the message. This is why you got to get into relationship with that name so you can know about that name and know what that name has done. So when you begin to open your mouth and talk about Jesus, you got an assurance what was already done, and you're not trying to get it done yourself. You can't save nobody. Quit thinking that you the one that got them saved. You ain't the one that got them saved. The message you carried is what got them saved, what got them to accept salvation. That's what saved them. Jesus saved them, and it's always waiting for them. But we make people feel like, well, ain't nobody going to accept Jesus till I come. That's because we want to be exalted. We want to be seen, we want to be heard, and we want to be attached to. So we got to understand that there is salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus. And I love this right here. Y'all remember John 10. Go to John 10. This is when Jesus was talking about that he's the door. He's the door to the sheep. And if y'all know about sheep, and I was learning this, is when they put sheep in a cave, the shepherd would lay in the doorway. And nobody could get past that shepherd to get to those sheep. So he was the protection for those sheep. He was the door. So in order to get to the sheep, you had to go to the through the door. So this is what Jesus was saying to them in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. So we got to let people know that Jesus is the door. He's the door unto the Father. This is the only way that you're going to get to heaven is coming through Jesus Christ. Your works is not going to get you there. I don't care how much good works you do. Some of us are still trying to do good works right now to get what we already have. But see, when you know what you already have, you ain't working twice as hard to get it. You're just saying, Lord, I thank you for what has already been provided. I thank you that it's already mine. God, I don't have to try to work to get it to become mine. God, I'm praising you for what I already have. When we get to that point, then we will see things manifesting in our lives. Until you get to that point, you're going to keep praying over the same thing. You're going to keep asking for the same thing.
Thank you for tuning in to our broadcast on today. If you have a testimony on how this broadcast has truly blessed your life, please call us at 866-907-6836. If you would like a copy of the teaching in its entirety, you may contact us at 907-6836. You may write us at Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, Post Office Box 1042, Burgall, North Carolina, 28425. Visit us on the internet at www.mtdm.org.